Today, we're flying fast backwards around the world to get back to the classic 1978 film, Superman the Movie.
I love awesome. It,
colon, the movie, which tells the story of an extraordinary hero from another planet, Superman, who embodies truth, justice, and the American way.
Yeah, of course.
This was the first real run at a Hollywood comic book movie. It's a fun ride for families with, I would say, children aged about 10 and older, and it promotes values like sacrifice, integrity, moral fortitude. Superman the Movie, a 45-year-old movie that's a bit dusty in parts, but on the whole, it works.
Welcome to Rocket Pop Reviews, giving Christian families a reliable source for reviews of movies, shows, books, and podcasts.
Every four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle function.
We're serious about the fun of entertainment.
Nice to be in orbit.
Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
And now your hosts, Steve Manuel and Jeff Davenport.
All right. I have vague recollections of watching this with my dad on like the Sunday night movie of the week, where they have removed every kind of interesting part of the movie. And you're supposed to watch it on broadcast TV and really have memories of seeing it in the theater. But of course, I did not have those memories. So I'll be interested to hear your take.
The ABC Sunday night movie, they would put it, it was so long. It was a very long movie. They put it over two nights. And I know
they broke it up.
It was where Lois Lane was about to fall off the building from the helicopter crash.
Perfect.
And then next, tomorrow night. This movie really was the first comic book movie. So if you have kids who are like, oh, I like Thor, I like all this, you know, the modern stuff, it has a modern sensibility to it. This movie is so wonderfully. Now, sometimes old-fashioned is not good. Sometimes right. old-fashioned means boring. This is just a wonderfully old-fashioned type of story. It starts so simply. It actually starts with, I'd forgotten this. I watched this with my children recently. I'd forgotten this. It starts with this like old-timey, this is what Superman used to be like on television and in the comics. It's about a minute long, and then it goes into the story. The story is the Superman origin story. It starts on Krypton.
Yeah.
Superman's father, played by Marlon Brando, who, yes. from what I've read, wouldn't memorize any lines. I'm not kidding. I listened to an interview with the director, and he was telling tales out of school at this point. You know, it was 50 years later.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, Marlon's having to talk to his baby son, who becomes Superman. They had to put a TV inside of the baby to put his lines on because he refused to memorize the lines. So he's looking at a baby doll reading these, and it's not many lines. It's not the Gettysburg Address. It's just my son, Kal-El. He's reading it off there.
Couldn't be bothered.
So the story is about Kal-El on Krypton. Krypton is about to be destroyed for one reason or another. He sends his son. Catch this.
His only son,
after there's been a rebellion, by the way, on that planet, he sends his only son to Earth with the belief that he can help those people. And this son comes to Earth, is born to out-of-the-way, nobody parents, and he grows up into Superman, goes to Metropolis. He's Clark Kent by day, Superman by night, doing all these wonderful things.
Grows up in Nazareth, Metropolis.
That's pretty much it. And the story is very simple. There's not a kid who couldn't understand it. There's a very bad guy in Lex Luthor. The bad guys are clear. The good guys are clear. What he's setting out to do, for the most part, is pretty clear. And every moment where these set pieces all throughout, like Lois Lane falling off a building, or the Air Force One, an engine goes out. I mean, these are just comic book moments. They're not convoluted. They're not all this like, well, I've got to eat a nuclear bomb.
Backstory.
Oh, it's just go and save the plane. Catch the woman who's falling. Right. Now, towards the end, it gets a little complex, and the ending's not the best, but boy, the ride all the way through is so great. And one of the things, now this is 1978, this is after Star Wars. And so the special effects were getting better. And literally the tagline for this movie on the posters was Superman the Movie, you will believe a man can fly. Because in the past, every Superman iteration was just a TV show. And it was a guy laying on a board with you know, some grip, pulling his cape to make it look like there's wind. Well, they had to spend all this energy putting in these special effects where he can fly. Now, granted, this is a long time later, so your kids might be going, pretty sure that's fake. Yeah, pipe down, Jimmy. It's all okay. This is pretty good for the time.
Right.
My girls were able to at first be like, huh, they got past it because the story becomes really engaging.
That's crazy that on the movie poster, their one bait was, we've done a little CGI trick here, and I think you're really going to appreciate it. That's it.
Yes, because everyone knew of the TV show, and Christopher Reeve, the star of the movie, was not a known name, so they couldn't promote it that way.
Right.
Marlon Brando, he's only in the movie for about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
He got paid a tremendous amount of money. Gene Hackman was a known name, but they were like, it's going to be about, you believe this guy can fly, which
that's crazy.
Doesn't help us any today because we're like, it doesn't really look like it all that much, but Christopher Reeves is really, really good in this. There is a purity about it. I know it's cliche to say at this point, but here we are. How many years later? Every comic book movie is the dark edge and we're going to go down this. Oh, what about his troubled side? You know what Superman's troubled side is? His troubled side is, I can't do enough. I can't do enough good things.
That
I'm trying
is so
to do
cool.
all the good things. One of his values is, it's a great scene where he's getting to know Lois Lane and he says something almost incredible. And she goes, you got to be kidding me. And he goes, I never lie, Lois. He's this paragon of morality.
I love it. Oh, Jeff, you're hitting on one of my great bugbears in all of entertainment world. Every show, every movie, whatever, is that we have lost the virtuous hero where there's not an ulterior motive. He's not trying to make up for the death of his parents in the past or whatever. It's just, no, I'm committed to good. And so I'm just going to give myself to those ends. I haven't remembered that, but the fact that he would just say plain faced in a movie that's in movie theaters, I never lie. That is like super hot to me.
It's so cool. It's a jarring moment. Even Lois is like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
The climax of the movie, Superman has to make a choice. And the choice is basically, do I save all of California because it's about to be destroyed by this nuclear thing?
Boy, that might be a really harder choice today.
Well, I'd be like, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Not California. Or save the woman he loves. Save Lois Lane, who is, her car has fallen into this thing. There's two women who really like Superman, and I kind of like pulling this apart. Lois Lane is this, you know, she's this tough reporter, and she's going to do it on her own, but she's very cynical, very cynical.
Yeah.
But she finds in this guy something really appealing. I love that relationship. And
yeah,
then there's
cool.
this odd relationship. Gene Hackman is Lex Luthor, and he's great. He's like chewing up every scene.
Super hammy.
Oh, he couldn't be more hammy. It's so. And then Ned Beatty plays his sidekick Otis, who's very funny.
Yes.
Otis is awesome. I'll just spoil one great moment. Lex Luthor is revealing his plans, and what he's going to do
Mr.
is
Luthor. Yeah, Mr. Luthor.
Mr. Luthor. He's gonna destroy California. There's going to be new coastline, and there will be new cities. And I wish I could remember the cities, but it's like Lexville and this. And then someone has scrawled onto the map with like his left hand, Otisburg. Otisburg.
Costa del Lex, Lutherville, Marina del Lex, Otisburg. Otisburg.
Miss Tess Macher, she's got her own place, Miss
Otisburg.
It's a little bitty place.
Otisburg?
Okay, I just wipe it off. That's all. It's a little town.
Otisburg? Well, I just thought, Mr. Luthor, Otisburg.
I love that.
Whenever I think of someone who's trying to reach a little too far to get something, I always think, Otisburg, Otisburg. So there's three people in the bad guy triumvirate. It's Lex Luthor and Otis. And Valerie Perrine plays Miss Chessbacher.
Miss Chessbacher.
Which that's a warning for kids. She wears very low cut stuff. It's a little like
that's what I remember from seeing it as an 11-year-old. That's what, like, I remember.
Hang on. But she is clearly a bad girl. But she's so taken by Superman. And there's a moment Superman has a kryptonite necklace they put around him, and he's drowning. And she comes and she just loves him and is like, if I help you, will you help my mom?
Yes.
And she says something like, how come I can never have a guy like you?
Yeah.
And she's so taken with the purity of this man.
Quite a moment.
It gets me. It gets me a little. Anyway, great characters, fun characters, good bad guy. Begins with this, was basically the devil that has rebelled against Kal-El up on Krypton. He's, you know, banished into the forbidden zone that goes into Superman 2.
Yeah.
But it's a clean, simple movie. The climax is a little like, wait, really? That's what you ended up with, where he goes back in time. It's a little silly. You have to talk to your kids about, like, yeah, that's not the, it's not immoral. It's more like, huh, that he's got that power. All right, great.
Yeah. As I recall, he turns back time at the end. It's one of those really bad endings where you think, well, if we had known the entire movie that he had this power, you could just undo every bad thing that ever happened to anybody.
Yes. Although it's a Christ movie in that this is, you know, Jesus come to earth to help humanity. It's also a movie about someone, Superman, who comes to discover who he is. And there's literal moments where he goes into his fortress of solitude and listens to his father and gets counsel from his father.
That's crazy.
The way going, all right, I can do this. And maybe the most goosebumpy moment in the movie is he's a kid, you know, he's a high school kid. He's graduated. He didn't know what to do with his life. His sweet dad, played by Glenn Ford on Earth, wouldn't allow him to go play football because, you know, you're going to slaughter everybody. He's like, oh, it's such a bummer. He's trying to find out who get this. Like, there's such significance here. He doesn't know who he is. And he knows he has stuff within him that needs to, he doesn't know who he is. So he goes off to basically the fortress of solitude, and he sits with his father, and his father gives him everything he needs. And he shows up in like regular clothes and a backpack. And then when the training is done, the next thing we see coming out of the fortress is Superman flying out. And
that's,
he goes
hot.
Off, changes the world.
Forgive me, but it's kind of like Neo. He doesn't know who he is. He just knows there's something different about him, and he's got to pursue that. Now, can I share with you my and my father's favorite line from the movie?
Oh, yes.
This is before they were trying to throw, you know, crush catchphrases down our throats. This became a catchphrase in my household. It was said many times with me and my old man. Superman goes into, well, Christopher Reeve, what's his name? Clark Kent. Goes into a phone booth. He does a quick change. He exits the phone booth in his Superman blue and red regalia.
Nobody's seen him before. This is unveiling. Yes.
And some innocent, naive black guy on the sidewalk sees him come out of the phone booth and says, "Say, Jack, that's a bad outfit."
Excuse me.
"That's a bad outfit."
Now, see, they're making a little ethnic humor there. And you and I both know that every white person in the theaters thought that was a funny line. And every black person in the theaters also thought that was a funny line.
Yes, that's
right. These are the days when you're allowed to make humor like that. Uh-huh.
Yep, it's still a funny moment. There's a lot of little funny moments throughout. I'd say it's a genuinely funny movie, but it's also, it has all that.
And you can rent this movie on Apple TV, is that true?
You can rent it anywhere, yeah.
Okay,
you can rent it.
I know that you have read about the director of the movie, how the movie was made. Can you give us some of those gems about how it was made, or how the script was made, or what were some of the intrigue as it was coming together?
These two guys from Eastern Europe, Salkind. It was the Salkind family. They owned the property. And they're like,
well, it was two Jews that wrote the whole Superman ethic at the very beginning.
I'll go to those real quick. Siegel and Shuster, I think.
Well, yeah.
By the time this movie had come out, like there were all sorts of things with Superman's, you know, comic books, TV shows. One had died, I think, destitute. The other was, I want to say, a trash man or a postman.
Oh, my goodness.
And so Richard Donner, the director of this movie, said, the guy who's living, he's coming to the premiere. And he convinced Warner Brothers, you're going to give him a taste of the profits from this for the rest of his life.
Wow.
So they tried to take care of at least one of them, or maybe the
good on Donner.
That's right.
And what was Donner's pedigree?
At that point, it's strange. He had made like The Omen, I think, not The Exorcist, but The Omen. He'd made just a couple of things. I mean, this guy went on to make Lethal Weapon. All the Lethal Weapon movies, he'd made Goonies, a big time director. Superman right. did it for him. So the Salkinds, they get Richard Donner. Well, these Salkinds were crazy. They were just nuts. They wanted all this stuff in the movie. It didn't make any sense. And Donner was like, I'm walking. They were terrible, terrible producers. The movie was great in spite of them. But eventually it got made. Donner actually was signed on to make Superman 1 and 2 almost concurrently. And they said, we don't like you. You're off Superman 2. They brought a different director in. So Superman 2, which I think is a really good movie, is really weird because it toggles back and forth between stuff that Richard Donner had directed and then who they brought this other comedy director in. So you'll have these very broad moments. But Superman 2, it's a great story as well. Superman gives up his powers to love Lois Lane. And of course, once he does that, the world goes crazy.
He gives up his powers. Was it to get the guys out of that mirror that was floating through space?
Well, the guys in the mirror, they end up coming to Earth. Now you got three bad super people.
Well, you could tell us about Superman 2 on some other occasion.
I know they're making they're starting over on the Superman movies. This guy, James Gunn, is doing again. A new one that's coming again. And I will just say, I don't have much hope for that because the odds are very low. Superman works. Most people don't like the Superman thing because, well, that main character, he doesn't really change. He doesn't really grow. Yeah, he shouldn't. He shouldn't. The characters around him grow because of him. And unless they go down that route, it's just going to feel like, great, it's another Dark Knight.
Of course. There have been so many iterations. You're reminding me as you're talking about Smallville with John Schneider.
Yeah, that's right.
That was really fun. I really enjoyed that look at what if he did play football or et cetera.
Yeah, I agree. So that's Superman the movie. I love it. It wasn't called Superman. It was called Superman the movie because I think some people are like, but it's on TV every week with Jim. What was that guy's name? His name's like John Reeves.
George Reeves.
Yeah. No. This is the movie 1978. I know that's old, but sometimes you got to go back to the older stuff and you give your kids, again, I'm saying 10 years old. There's a few cusses along the way. It's really not bad. It's not violent or anything. You give your kids a little talk and go, hey, this is the talk I always give my kids because they watch more modern stuff. This is going to feel slower. It's going to feel a little old fashioned. The special effects aren't going to be great, but boy, it's a good story. Just watch for this. I love giving my kids a 1 to 2 minute primer before we watch any movie. It gives them a lens through which they can see things, and they're allowed to not like it by the end. That's totally fine. I just don't want them to not like it for the wrong reasons.
And they might see some of the Tessbachers along the way.
North, Miss Tessbacher, do north.
Thanks for listening to Rocket Pop Reviews. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. See you next time for another family-friendly review.